fast as possible today, so we can give room to pray and just worship. If you observe the person who led the worship session, at a point got into the spontaneous and lost track of time. And the person who led the prayer session got into the spontaneous. I think it's the flow of the Spirit, and it's very, really, really critical that we just flow, you know, flow with the Spirit. Today we round up this session, the School of Christ, and today all I want to do is to give, as it were, some, you can call it marching orders for 2021. You can call it key instructions from the Spirit for 2021. With regards to walking in love, with regards to learning Christ, the things I'm about to say will be very crucial. I'll try to be as quick as possible because I want to give time to, I want to give time for us to pray. I want to give time for us to sing, if possible, joy in the Holy Ghost, you know, dance in the Spirit. These things, these three things, will be very, very common amongst us in 2021. Singing in the Spirit, dancing in the Spirit, leaping for joy, you know, dancing, tongues and interpretation, the gifts of the Spirit, the spirituals, will be very, very prevalent, very, very prevalent, more prevalent than we have experienced in 2020. And I'm excited for that. So let's begin Ephesians chapter 4 from verse 20. Mm-hmm. Ephesians 4 from verse 20. It says, "But ye have not so learned Christ. For ye have not so learned Christ. For ye have not so learned Christ. But ye have not so learned Christ." Now, if you read the entire chapter, it was just telling them not to walk as the Gentiles walk, in the vanity of their minds. So the walk of the Gentiles can be seen in the vanity of their minds, in the emptiness of their minds. There's an emptiness of heart. There's an emptiness of person, an emptiness of thinking, a mind void of truth that enables men do what they do. It's an emptiness of mind that allows men to wreak havoc on earth. It takes an emptiness of mind for a man to wake up in the morning and want to kill 50 people. You know, just want to shoot people and then kill himself. It's emptiness of mind for a man to want to push that pedophilia be legislated. You know, it's emptiness of mind. And the sad thing is that because of the power of influence, what you see, you know, what you hear. I saw a sister post something on WhatsApp today about taking heed what you hear and what your eyes see. I think I was like, that's the Spirit. You know, that's very key. You know, what you see, what you hear, because of the power of influence, a believer, although he does not share the same nature with the unbeliever, can share the same experience with them. He can share the same conduct with them. He can share the same destruction, you know, that comes from improper conduct, so improper thinking. He can share it with them. You know, Paul now told them, he says, "Do not walk as the Gentiles do in the vanity of their minds." And then he told them in verse 20, he says, "But you have not so learned Christ." The word "learned" there is a very important word. It's mantano. It means to learn not only by acquaintance, but by experience. It's a kind of learning that, you know, you receive into your mind that shows in what you, how you act. It's a kind of learning that shows in your conduct. It's active learning that leads to active living. Yeah. It says the reason for you not to walk like the Gentiles walk is because you have not learned that way of living in Christ. You have not learned that way of living in Christ. You have not learned that behavior in Christ. You have not learned that way of thinking in Christ. You have not so learned Christ, if so be that you have heard him. Christ is a school. Every believer, everyone born again, is born into the school of Christ, where he hears Christ. He has been taught by Christ. You know, at what time are you taught by Christ? When you're taught the scriptures. Anytime you're being taught the scriptures in the light of Christ, you are being taught by Christ. If so be that you've heard him and you have been taught by him, as the truth is in Jesus, which means the word truth there means actually as the reality is in Jesus. The believer only has one reality. That reality is Christ. Whatever is not in Christ cannot be true. Whatever is not in Christ is a lie. It's very critical we establish that. We were put in Christ to find in Christ our only reality. So if there is anything appealing, if there is anything prevalent that contradicts the nature, the character, the supremacy, the word of Christ, it's not a reality. So who is a realistic believer? It's the believer who considers Christ as the only standard, as the only reality. Any believer who considers something as true that is not true in Christ is unrealistic. Which means that if a believer is walking in the vanity of the mind, emptiness, a mind void of truth, that believer is very unrealistic. Any conduct, any action, any way of thinking, any way of conducting yourself that does not speak to the reality that is in Christ, you know, is called vanity. It's called vanity. It's called vanity. It says that you put off concerning the former conversation, the old man. Now, put off concerning the former conversation means put on concerning your former conducts. Put on concerning the previous way of life. Put it off, the old man. Why? Because at the born-again experience, God stripped you off of that nature. God stripped you off of that nature. So the nature, a new nature was given to you. But the conducts that are aligned with that nature is your responsibility. You know, putting on the new man does not mean that you are not the new man, you're not born again. Putting on the new man means put on display that which you currently are. What is true of you? What is true of you is from the inside out. You're not borrowing it from the outside in. You're not saying I am evil, then I will now borrow goodness. No, you are good because the Spirit of God is in you.
Hallelujah.
You know, he took away that, he severed you. There was a divorce at the born-again experience. No believer can say that God did not do a good job in redemption. He was very thorough. And God dealt with sin. God dealt with it. God dealt with the nature of sin. Why am I able to put off from my conduct the old man? It's because Christ at the cross took away the old man from my nature. Doesn't that make sense? I am able to put off from my conduct what God has put off me in my nature. I don't know if that makes sense. So put off, you know, from your former conversation, the old man, which is corrupt according to deceitful lusts, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind. The word spirit there just means in the perspectives, in the attitudes of your mind. Be renewed, be renewed, be renewed. Saying that you put on the new man. Why are you going to put on this new man? You're already a new man in Christ. So where do you put on the new man? You put on the new man on your mind. You are renewed in the spirit of your mind, in the attitude of your mind, in the way you think it, the way you see things. You know, you now start to see things the way God does. You're sharing the same perspective with God. It says that you do this, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. So the component with which God made you a saint, a believer, is righteousness and true holiness. That's the nature of God. That's the raw material of the new man. You are to take this and put it on display in your conduct. All right? You are to take the raw material that God used to make you and put it on display in your conduct. When the world acts, you know, walks in immorality, in debauchery, in covetousness, in all manner of filthiness, they are putting on display their nature. Does that make sense? They are putting on display their nature. When a believer walks in righteousness and holiness in his conduct, what he's doing is that he's putting on display his nature. So his actions are now a revelation of Christ.
Hallelujah.
You know, my conduct ought to flow from my learning.
Yeah.
Why should I not act like the world does? Because I've not learned it in Christ. So I look at Christ to know how to behave. I don't look at what people do to know how to behave. I don't look at TV to know how to behave. I don't look at radio to know how to behave. No, I look at Christ. So my actions ought to be birthed out of revelation, right? The believer's actions, when people see him, they say, oh, this one has learned Christ. He has learned Christ. He has learned Christ because he's a Christ practitioner. He has learned it such to the point that he's now revealed in the way he thinks, in the way he talks, in the way he acts. you know, no believer is expected to innovate when it comes to conduct. Every believer is supposed to follow a path. The path has already been blazed by Christ. So we look at Christ to know how to act. So if, for example, Brother Salawu approaches me and tells me something, I don't have a frame of reference to act, I tell him to hold on, then I go and spy. I go and look at Christ. I go and behold Christ. When I learn what Christ would have done, I know that Christ in his spirit is still doing the same thing in me. I allow him to do that. In that way, I am consistent. You know, my nature is now consistent with my conduct. That's just by the wayside. So matching, we said to learn, of course, is from the Greek word, you know, mantano. It means to learn by use, means to learn by practice, it means to increase in knowledge. It means to be accustomed to something. So in this context, we ought to be accustomed to Christ. We ought to take Christ as our business. Now tell your neighbor, say, mind your business. 2021 will be minding our business. We'll be minding our business. When a believer begins to misbehave, he's not minding his business. Yes. When a believer begins to champion the cause of immorality, the cause of the world, he's not minding his business. He's been a busybody. Mind your business. Your business is Christ. Mind your business. Okay, the believer is in the business of putting what is revealed in Christ on display in his actions. And you know, in Philemon 1:6, the Bible tells us that every good thing which is in Christ is in us. And the reason is because we are in Christ. Our job is to show forth the praises of him who has called us out of darkness. We are not in darkness anymore. So we are showing forth the praises, the wealth, the splendor of him who has called us out of darkness into his marvelous light. So when you see a saint, what should you see? Light. The splendor of God, the good things of God ought to be the things that men see in you. So we want to talk about the marching orders for the coming year. The marching orders concerning 2021. In your walk in love, how does a believer walk in love? You walk in love, we talked about last week, when you know the love of God. And then when you pursue single-mindedness. I believe the Spirit will have me emphasize this to the house today. Pursue single-mindedness. Pursue single-mindedness. This is very, very crucial. Pursue single-mindedness. Hebrews chapter 13 from verse 5. Hebrews 13 from verse 5. If you're there, let's read together. It says, let your conversation be without covetousness and be content with such things as ye have. For he hath said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee, so that we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper. I will not fear what man shall do unto me. This is very crucial. This is very critical. Let's open the scriptures and then let's ask ourselves some basic questions very quickly. This is very, very crucial. Let's ask ourselves some very, very basic questions. I want to open my Bible here while we ask ourselves those questions. 13 from verse 5. Okay, so first it says, let your conversation, that means let your conduct be without covetousness. Let your conduct be without covetousness. Now, some people think that, you know, when we talk about covetousness, we're talking about, you know, lusting after someone else's physical possession. That's a part of it. But covetousness goes beyond lusting after someone's physical possession. Covetousness is also lusting after someone's pattern of thinking, someone's way, someone's worldview, someone's actions, right? For example, a believer, although he's called a saint, although he's called the righteousness of God in Christ, may be found stealing, right? But can that believer say, it is the spirit that God gave me at the new birth that caused me to steal?
No way. It's a lie.
Where did he get stealing from? Covetousness. He coveted it. What did he lent it from somewhere and borrowed it. You know, let your conduct be without covetousness. What are our conducts to be without? Covetousness. What is sin?
Hallelujah.
What is sinful actions? It's covetousness. When a person, you know, when I was growing up, they used to call it long throat. Those of you grew in Nigeria, it's a long throat is a figure of speech. It's a figure of speech where what you have is not enough. You want what belongs to someone else. You know, you want someone else's property. There is a level of madness the devil affords men that believers, I have seen a lot of believers copying. It's called covetousness. He says, let your conduct, your conversation be without covetousness. How will your conversation be without covetousness in 2021? Because the devil has no power except first the power to entice men. It's very important we understand that sin is a life cycle. Sin is not possible unless some people have been enticed. Amen. It's not possible without temptation. You have to be tempted first. And then the devil brings enticement to the table. You bring desire, right? You bring desire to the table. So it's a life cycle. There's a cycle. If there is no desire, there can be no sin. If there is no desire, there can be no enticement. The desire comes from men. The enticement comes from Satan. And then when the desire marries the enticement, it's called sin, right? Now, that desire, desiring whatever is not found in Christ, is what is called covetousness. There will be a lot of enticement in the coming year. A lot of enticement. When we talk about a shaking, there will be a lot of enticement in the coming year. He says, let your conversation be without covetousness. How is that going to be? He says, be content with the things that you have. Be content with the things that you have. Now, when we talk about contentment, a lot of times we think about, you know, the money in our bank account. We think about food. We think about clothes. We think about houses. But, you know, the writer of Hebrews was still speaking. He didn't stop there. He says, be content with with such things as ye have. And then he gave a reason. He says, for he had said, why should I be content with such things as I have? Because God has said. He's listening very carefully. Why should I be content with such things as I have? He says, for God had said. So, hearing what God said is my reason for contentment. The word of God is the reason for my contentment. The word of God is the reason for me. It says, for God had said, I will never leave you nor forsake you, so that we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper. I will not fear what man can do unto me. Now, wait a minute. What are the things we have? We have the word of God. We have the indwelling presence of God, the Spirit of God. He says, be content with such things as ye have, for God has said. What are the things that we have? What God has said about us. What are the things that we have? The Spirit of God within us. The riches of Christ are the things that we have. Now, mark this in your calendar or write this down anywhere. If a man is not content with Christ in the coming year, there is nothing in this world that would save him from depression. I didn't mean words. And I say it with all seriousness. With all seriousness. Contentment, the reason for our contentment is the word of God.
That's right.
Is the Spirit of God within us.
Yes.
Why should you be content in 2021? Because God lives in you. Because God has said, I will not leave you. God has said, I will not forsake you. That should be your contentment. Your contentment should not be rested on the number of cars you have, on the number of houses you have, the number of clothes you have. Your contentment should be formed, should be predicated on the scriptures, on the word of God. It says, for God has said, I will not leave you. So I am content with such things as I have because God has said he will not leave me. How does that make sense? We'll come to that. How does that make sense? How does that make sense? It says, for God has said, I will not leave you nor forsake you, so that we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper. So how does he, you know, how would you know a man is content? By what he says. You will know a man is content by what he says. Now you will wonder how this applies to your love walk. I'm coming. I'm going somewhere. And how this applies to single-mindedness. I'm going somewhere. It says, so that we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper. So we practice contentment by boldly affirming, by boldly speaking, by boldly saying who God is to us. By boldly saying who God is to us. Boldness in declaring who God is. So when I see things that are enticing and, you know, things that want to push me to act in ways that are contrary to my nature, what should I do? Boldly affirm what God has said about me, about who he is to me, about his presence in me. What would that do? What would that do? It says, the Lord has said, so that we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper. I will not fear what man can do to me. Now, follow this very well. When I choose to be content and I declare with my mouth who God is, what I have because of who he is, what would happen? Fear will be banished. Fear will be banished. Fear will be banished. Every scent of fear will disappear. Now, the mother of all fears is the fear of man. It's the mother of all fears. All fears. Do you know there are people who have joined, you know, back home in Nigeria, people join courts, not because their parents didn't have money. Not because they didn't have everything they needed in life. But because of what people would think of them. Let that sink in. Because of what people would say about them. You know, they call them a Jew. People became pregnant. Premarital, you know, pregnancy. That led to abortion, that led to death. Simply because they wanted to feel among. They wanted to belong. They wanted to feel appreciated. They wanted to feel loved. People succumb to peer, they call it peer pressure. It's fear of man. It's fear of man. It says, the Lord has said, so that we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper. I will not fear what man can do to me. So when I begin to affirm the scriptures, when I begin to affirm what God has said about me, what's going to happen? I will begin to banish every iota of the fear of man. What is the fear of man? It is any attitude, any action, any belief that gives you an impression that man can do only what God can do. That man can give only what God can give. That's the fear of man. And if you hear that prophetic word today, the number one strategy of the devil in the coming year will be the fear of man. The fear of man. If you can master this, you master everything. It will be the fear of man. It will be the fear of man. So let's think about this a bit. Since the Lord is my helper, I will not fear what man can do to me. I will not fear what man can do to me. Now notice, if I fear what men can do to me, what would happen? What would happen if I fear what men can do to me? Let's do a practical session. Now, this is very serious. You will understand where I'm going to very shortly. Very practical session. If, for example, Daniel Ibre is right here, so I can make an example out of him. Daniel Ibre said one or two things about me. And I've been taught that when people speak bad of you, what should you do? You speak bad of them too, or you retaliate, right? Daniel Ibre said something about me. And then I come and I start thinking about what he said. What will make me go to Daniel Ibre and give him a slap? The mind of Christ or another kind of mind?
Another kind of mind.
What is that phenomenon where you have two different kinds of minds? What's it called?
Open-mindedness.
Are you seeing this? So if I go to Daniel Ibre and I treat him the way Christ will not treat him, what am I doing? I'm being double-minded. Are you following this? I'm being double-minded. What is it that is making me be double-minded? What would Christ have done? Number one, Christ would have walked away. Or go and pray for him. Right? Or just say, Father, forgive him. What is it that would make me say, that's not enough. I have to slap him. Somebody catching this? Are you catching this?
Yeah.
So give me the answer. What would be that? What would be that? It would be that I have considered that forgiveness is not enough. Covetousness. Forgiveness is not enough. It doesn't suit the situation. How can I just forgive him for insulting me? So I outsource my actions from outside God. Meanwhile, my habitat is in Christ. My habitat is Christ. I would have to go out of Christ to outsource my actions. What is that thing that made me go out of Christ to outsource my actions? My dissatisfaction with Christ. What is covetousness? It's a dissatisfaction with what you have. I will think that Christ is not wise enough to tell me to forgive him. So what would I do? I would outsource my actions from the word. And I would give him a slap. So what is single-mindedness? Single-mindedness will then be treating Ibre the same way Christ would treat him. Because the same mind in Christ is the mind I have allowed to be in me. Let this mind be in you, which is also in Christ Jesus. Single-mindedness. Where does the ability for me not to treat you the way you deserve to be treated come from? Single-mindedness. The word has a policy, evil for evil. Good for good. Do good to them that do good to you, and evil to them that do evil to you. It is double-mindedness. Covetousness will be when I borrow that, I will do good to them that are good to me and do evil to them that are evil to me. How do I cure that? By being content with such things as I have. What do I have? The Lord has said, I will not leave you nor forsake you. So that I can boldly say, the Lord is my helper. I will not fear what Ibre can do to me. Now, when I don't fear what you can do to me, then I will not act according to the way you want me to act.
Hallelujah.
The reason why somebody, you are going in, you know, the streets of Lagos, somebody can insult you, is because they want you to insult them back. Have you ever observed that? Have you ever experienced this when somebody treats you so bad and they wanted you to retaliate and you did not? Are you seeing the shock in their faces? Like, there's no, like, you should actually, if I tell you this, you should tell me this. You should tell me press down, check it again, and rolling over. But when you don't do that, they are shocked. They don't understand why. Why didn't he fight back? The Lord has said. So the strength that I gain from the Spirit of God is the ability not to make you govern how I act. Somebody once said, nobody can drive you crazy if you don't give them the keys. Right? You give them the keys, then they drive you. The word seeks to drive you. Drive you nuts. Drive you crazy. Don't give them the keys. Double-mindedness is giving the devil the keys to drive you. To dictate your mood. To dictate when you are angry. To bring out, you know, they say they want to bring out the monster in you. It is double-mindedness that made somebody preach in church on Sunday, and the moment he comes down from the pulpit, 5 minutes later, I say, let's keep Bible aside. Though. I go show you, say, I decrease. Double-mindedness. Double-mindedness. The Lord has said, I'm saying this because a lot will come towards you with estimation that you would retaliate the way the devil wants you to retaliate. At such instances, remember that the Lord has said that he will never leave you nor forsake you, so that you may boldly say that the Lord is your helper and you will not fear what man can do to you. The fear of what man can do to me is the reason why I succumb to peer pressure. The fear of what man can do to me is the reason why, you know, I misbehave. The fear of what man can do to me is the reason why I do all sort of things that are not consistent with my nature. That's all. That's all. So contentment with Christ will cure me of the heartache of double-mindedness. Does this make sense? I don't know if you're getting this. So boldness should come from contentment. What should you do this 2021? Enjoy the Spirit of God within you. Enjoy the Spirit of God within you. Enjoy him so much that you have boldness to treat all men the same way. Enjoy it so much that you inherit absence of fear from that contentment with the Spirit. There is something about being content with the Spirit of God, with reverence for God, that rids you of fear. It rids you of fear. You ask a lot of believers why they do things. They'll tell you, because I was afraid of missing out. Being afraid of missing out is the fear of man. It's the fear of man. Because covetousness will breed fear. And that fear will be a reaction to what men do to you. That fear will be a reaction to what men can do. That fear can make you go carry a gun. That fear can make you drop your Bible. That fear can make you leave church. The fear of what men can do to you. Are you still following? Are you still following?
Oh,
here?
Yes. Hallelujah.
You know,
amen.
Adam would not. Adam would not have sinned if not for fear of missing out.
He would not have.
Eve would not have sinned if not for fear of missing out. The fear of missing out. The fear of missing out. The fear of being the Jew. You know, Jew. The fear of being considered the weak person. You say, if I'd not retaliate now. Sister Onyeye said this about me. If I don't retaliate, they will now say I'm weak. That's the fear of man manifesting.
Rep is on the line.
My rep is, I like that word. My rep is on the line. Listen, in 2021, your rep will be on the line several times. And the way of victory sometimes will look like loss to men. Men will consider it as loss. But that's the way of victory. That's the way of victory. Christ is enough. Christ is enough. God has said,
Amen.
So that what the way you act towards men will be because of the presence of God in you. So I treat Ibre according to the presence of God in me. Ibre gives me a very cold treatment, for example. Well, I prepare food for him. I take him to a buffet. And he's wondering, it's an example. Yes, it's an example. It's an example. And he's wondering why I'm being nice to him. I'm not being nice to him because he was nice to me. I'm being nice to him because the Spirit of God dwells in me. Christ is enough. Somebody say Christ is enough.
Oh, Christ is enough.
Christ is enough.
Oh, man.
2021. Christ must be enough for you. 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 Christ must be enough. Christ must be enough. Christ must be enough. I know this is not, it doesn't look interesting, but please follow this very closely. You must drink contentment from the Spirit of God within you. You must drink it. You must drink it. You must drink it. You must drink it. It is only when I am afraid of what men can do to me that I treat men will be, you know, will vary. It is only when I am afraid of what men can do to me that my actions will be inconsistent. God is bringing us to a place of consistency. Consistency in your conduct. Consistency in how you act. Consistency in how you act. Where does that come from? Consistency in the Spirit comes from contentment with that Spirit within you. Knowing that you have Christ and Christ is enough. You have Christ and Christ is enough. You have Christ as Christ and Christ is enough. You have Christ and He is the property you have. So you guard that property jealously. You protect that property. The good things that are in you that are in Christ Jesus. You are excited about it. They are found in your mouth. You are always saying it. 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 You put the good things that are true of you in Christ. You put them on your lips. If you do that, the devil will send men to drive you crazy. But they will go back with their tails in between their legs.
Hallelujah.
This is the way of victory, brothers. This is the way of victory. 2021 should be a year of contentment. Not contentment in things, but contentment with Christ. Christ is enough for me. Christ is enough for me. Christ is enough for me.
Is enough for me.
Don't become like that believer that began to swear with Ogun.
Jesus.
At the workplace because somebody lied against them. Don't be like that. Let Christ be enough for you. All right? Number two, in malice be babes, in understanding be men.
Hallelujah.
This is a marching order.
Yeah.
I'm just talking. I'm not trying to preach. In malice be babes, in understanding be men. Amen. You know, Paul was talking to the Corinthian church, 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 14. He says, for the love of Christ constrains us. I didn't want to read this. Let's read this. 14:20. 1 Corinthians 14:20. He says, brethren, be not children in understanding. Howbeit in malice be ye children. In understanding be men. So we can measure childishness or manhood in terms of understanding. In terms of understanding. The thing about a lot of believers is that they are experts at knowing what they should not know. And they are amateurs. Because they don't know what they ought to know. When it comes to malice, some believers are experts, chiefs, at the forefront. They understand body language. They can study Eli the way he's sitting and say, he's sitting that way because he's analyzing my every move. He's doing that because he doesn't really, he's being skeptical of what I'm saying. They are, these are experts in malice. Malice don't look for them. They look for malice. They find trouble where there is no trouble. You say, I just greeted Tolu this morning and he just ignored me completely. Unknowing that the guy did not even hear you. You say, I don't know. This happened because it happened 15th of November 1989. When the person that kept malice with me first, that's how he behaved. I understand the patterns and the trends. You have become like an analyst in things that don't matter. There are things that you should be found as a baby. Why do we have quarrels and fights? Because people have expertise in matters of quarrels. It says in malice, be children.
Yes.
Be ignorant. Deliberately, there are some things you shouldn't know. Don't be a good hotspot for gossip. Don't be, I'll say it again. You know, have you thought about the fact that people are comfortable with gossiping around you? Don't be an environment where gossip cannot thrive. I'm not saying you gossip, but you don't gossip, but gossipers feel safe. No. In malice, let us be children. That word there, you know, if you want to go further, it means like when it comes to malice or quarrel, be a complete idiot.
Yeah.
That's, you don't even understand what it is. You know, imagine the devil is speaking a language and you're speaking another language. It's like communicating to your child, you know, communicating to your child about chemistry. Like a one-year-old child. And expecting him to understand. It's not as if the child does not want to understand. The child does not have that comprehension, that ability to comprehend it. There is something understanding of the scriptures will do to you. When you grow in knowledge of Christ, you become an amateur in the things of the world. You become very, very ignorant. So that when the devil is saying, go and kill that man, all you are hearing is gibberish. Even when you try to say, okay, let me listen, let me see if I get this correctly, it doesn't make sense. That's spiritual warfare. When the devil is saying one thing and you are hearing gibberish, when you lack the ability to hear him, is this making sense to you?
Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Yes. Yes.
Okay. When the devil is saying, the devil is saying one, curse him, and you're saying, curse, what does it mean to curse? Curse, how do they curse? Is that even a word? Is that even a word? I only know about a pure fountain that springs life. I've never heard about any other fountain anymore. I've never heard about any other fountain. What are you talking about? There's no other fountain I know. All I can do is bless this person in understanding be men. So if you are a man in malice, it means you are a babe in understanding. If you are a man in understanding, you will become a babe in malice. In malice, let us be babes. In understanding, let us be men. Be a man of understanding this year. Give yourself to the knowledge of the scriptures, to the knowledge of God. Give yourself to the knowledge of God this year. In understanding, be men. Be men. Be men. I know about someone in Nigeria. When you come around her to gossip, she starts to pray. I think that's a very good step. This is very practical. You know, there are times that you would not have been hurt with some people if you didn't hear some things. Have you ever been there before? Things are going well with you and this brother, but you just hear one thing. And then the brother now come maybe and to lead prayer the next Sunday. You say, he was talking to me. Hey, confirmation. Confirmation. You know, there are some things you should just pay deaf ears to. You know, when Nigerian tailors sew for you, they do something called allowance. So that when you eat too much or you add weight, you can just go and, you know, make allowance. We ought to have allowances for each other. You know, no matter how much Daniel Ibre tries to offend me, I've forgiven him a million times already. I've forgiven him a million times already. That's allowance. So if you come and tell me, Daniel Ibre said this, he did this, he did this. All I would do is, I know he can do it, but I forgive him already. I forgive him already. You know? I forgive him already. If you were close to Daniel Ibre recently, you'll understand that his excuse has been exams. For not taking calls. Or returning calls. Or promising you that he will call you, you know, in 10 minutes. Or this evening. And not calling you 1 week later. You understand that. But when you are a babe in malice, it becomes, you know, something to laugh over. You know, it just adds to the flavor of family. Brothers, we are all we have. No devil. No, that, you know, that old lying, foul spirit will not be able to put separation between us.
In the name of Jesus.
He will not be able to. He will try. He will try. But in malice, be babes. Let him step on you. Have you ever seen children being angry with you? It doesn't last. They have cried 1 minute. They have grieved. The next minute, they are laughing with you. That is what spiritual maturity will do to you. But it's a function of understanding. Give yourself to understanding. How does understanding come? From knowledge. So knowledge will give you understanding. That's knowledge you hear over and over again. You are acquainted with, accustomed will give you understanding. Understanding will inform your persuasion. You know, your persuasion will then inform your conviction. Your conviction will then determine your conduct. Will then determine your conduct. So if you want to change conduct, change what you believe, what you're persuaded of, what you're convicted of. How do you change that? You know, change what you understand about that matter. How do you change that? Change the knowledge that you're receiving. The knowledge is very key. Which is why a major prayer, if you look at the epistles, a major prayer, you will hear them pray. It's always around knowledge. Always around knowledge. Epignosis. Full, complete, accurate, precise knowledge. You read Ephesians chapter 1 from verse 17 down to 21. You read Ephesians chapter 4 from verse 13. You read Philippians 1, 9 to mention a few. Colossians 1, 9 to 10. You read 2 Peter 1. Maybe we should just read a few of them. Knowledge is key. Fill your mind with the truth. With the truth. With the truth. Because the knowledge of Christ will be for your mind a laxative. It will purge you. It will purge you. It will purge you. It will purge you. Which is why, you know, Paul, when he came for the Corinthian church, when he came for them, you know, he came to discipline them. How do you discipline them? With truth. With truth. He didn't pick up Cain to say, all of you that have been keeping malice, all of you saying, I for Paul. I for Apollos, or you're lying here. Give me your hand, or you know, he can't walk. You can't flog out malice out of people. You have to use the truth of the scriptures to purge it out. So give yourself to the truth. If you are observing that there are tendencies that when people hurt you, it lasts long in your heart, don't feel condemned. Expose yourself to truth. Expose yourself to truth. So let 2021 be a year of exposure to God, to the word of truth. Expose yourself. It will purge you. It will rid you of those things that are contradictory to your nature. It will rid you of those things. Paul was telling them, don't you know? Don't you know Don't you know? Don't you know? Repeatedly, don't you know? Don't you know? Because they had to gain understanding. These guys were experts in malice. They could speak in tongues and seal it up with malice. Experts. These guys had, they were enriched in every utterance. Enriched. Yet impoverished when it comes to, you know, administrating the spirituals. Paul told them, concerning the spirituals, I will not have you ignorant. I will not have you ignorant. I will not have you ignorant. Then you need to expose yourself to the light of the gospel, to the light of the truth, light of his word. Let it purge you. Let it do a work in you. So if you are here, you find yourself susceptible to one kind of, you know, one slant or the other that you know are not found in Christ. Don't feel condemned. Expose yourself to the truth. Devote yourself to be a man of understanding this year. How does it come? It comes by the truth. Maybe we should read a couple of scriptures. Let's read, let's just read that Ephesians 4:13, maybe Philippians 1:9. If there's a projector working today, let's project it on the screen. I'll be rounding up very, very shortly. I just want to be as fast as possible today. Just some matching orders. How do you walk in love? Fill your mind with truth. Expose yourself to truth. Do you know that there are some bad habits some people would never have had if not for, you know, just what they exposed their minds to? Just what they exposed their eyes to? Just what they exposed, you know, their ears to? Choose to be selective with what you hear. I've adopted that principle right now. If we get to a point where there's about to be gossip, I'm going to hold your hand and we're going to pray. We're going to pray. Let's see how after that prayer, we will now say, hey, from where we stopped. You know, gossip, somebody defend gossip as saying something to someone that you're not part of the problem and you're not part of the solution. And it's very sweet. So let us pray. Some people quote it in the guise of prayer. Let us now pray for brother this and this. Say, ah, brethren, what are we praying for? Why don't you just pray in the spirit? They say, no, it's good for us to pray with insight. Say, where he's going through some very difficult times. Now, I say, difficult times? What are the difficult times? Can you be specific? You know, you just want to know about the story. Some things that we should just... And then you now know about the story, and you say, hey, God have mercy on us. That brother can do this. Ah, who is safe in this life? You know? Prayer is gone. the purpose of the prayer is gone. It's finished. No more prayer. And then you now go home and say, there's nothing we will not see in this life. I'm telling you, sister, have you heard? Wonders shall never end. Have you heard? You know, let us be deliberately babes when it comes to matters like this. Deliberately. Except brother Eli comes to tell me, I hate you. Even if he frowns in space and looks at me, I will make excuse. Because the truth is, people can actually frown and look at you. They're not looking at you. I'm talking from experience. Mm-hmm. Some of them are thinking about the food that just got burnt. Some are tired, genuinely tired. And their face is so strong. And they're looking at you and you're saying, I said it. I knew it. Now, these are practical things. It's real. I knew it. I knew that you never liked me. I knew. Except they come to tell you that. Even if they come to tell you, still say, he doesn't know what he's saying. He really likes me. Jesus made excuse for the people on the cross. Even though we know that those people knew what they were doing. They knew what they were doing. You cannot tell me that you don't know. They knew what they are prepared to crucify somebody. They had planned to kill someone. They planned to do it. He said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. That knowledge there would be the knowledge according to the truth. So even if this coming year, somebody deliberately offends you, what should you say? Father, this brother or sister acted this way, but I know it wasn't according to knowledge. So Father, I pray that the eyes of your understanding be enlightened. I pray that love would abound more and more according to the knowledge of Christ. I pray that your plans and purpose for this brother and sister will be fulfilled, that it will be complete and entire, lacking nothing. I pray that they will be furnished with the truth. You see, this will make you a better person. This is how to win in 2021. In malice, be babes. In understanding, be men. Go for understanding. Go for understanding. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Let's read just one of these verses. Anybody in the projector? Let's just read it together and just see a couple of things. Mercy, I'm going to just... Okay, awesome. All right. So still we all come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge, that word knowledge is epignosis, of the Son of God, unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. The believer's actions ought to be measurable. How do you measure the believer's actions? By the knowledge of Christ. I ought to be able to measure how I act with Christ. I ought to. And I improve better when I go for the knowledge of Christ, because I'm being measured by this. We're being measured by this. You're being measured by this, the knowledge of the Son of God. Let this be your food, morning, afternoon, and night. The knowledge of the Son of God. 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 When does a man have a PhD in malice, PhD in rots and strife? When he forsakes the knowledge of the Son of God. Love only abounds more and more according to the knowledge of the Son of God that fills your heart. So give your heart to these things. Give your heart to the knowledge of the Son of God this year. Let it be more important than your social status, than the money in your bank account. Let it be more important than what people think about you. Let it be more important than your sense of fashion. Let it be more important than everything else, than football. Brothers, there are some of us here who spend nothing less than 5 hours, 7 hours, 10 hours analyzing football. Please, I'm not saying watching football is bad. I'm saying if you're going to spend 5 hours, 7 hours watching football, also spend at least more or match the same energy with your pursuit of the knowledge of the Son of God. Give quality time to it. Give quality time to it. Amen.
Amen.
Rounding up very shortly, I want to go to, I want to share one last thing that I feel like you should, we should all keep in mind. As a matching order for walking in love, you know, for revealing Christ on earth, 2021. I want to share that very quickly. That's number three. Be filled with the Spirit. 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 I can't overstate this. Be filled with the Spirit. Be filled with the Spirit. God is not responsible for how much we drink. We are. God is not responsible for how much of Him you manifest. You are. You know, God is not actually responsible for how much of him you know now. You are. Which means that God is constant. His dealings with his children are constant. But our dealings with him can vary. Be filled with the Spirit. Be filled with the Spirit. How much you burn brightly this year is your responsibility. Paul speaking in, I think, 2 Timothy chapter 1 from verse 6. So Mercy, if you can keep tab of all these verses. Let's read all of them. And then we'll just pray. We'll just give time to just flow in the Spirit. 2 Timothy chapter 1 from verse 6. Mercy, if you can keep a tab of all the scriptures, and we're just going to read them one after the other. 2 Timothy chapter 1 and from verse 6. If we are all there, I'd like us to read out. Amen. Let's read out together. One to go. Wherefore, I put thee in remembrance that thou stir up the gift of God, which is in thee, by putting on of my hands. Says you should stir it up. The Amen. Gift will not stir up itself.
Amen.
It says, fan this into flame. Fan this into flame. Fan this into flame. Fan this into flame, which means supply fervency to this. Supply the dry wood, as it were. Fan it deliberately, deliberately, deliberately. Someone once said, if you set yourself on fire, the world will come and watch you burn. I believe it was that same man that he was cast out everywhere where he went to preach, until he went to the father's grave and started preaching from the father's grave, climbed that grave and said, you can drive me everywhere. You can pursue me everywhere, but you cannot pursue me from my own father's grave. And right where he was, men were brought to their knees, to the praise of God's glory. Men found salvation. Men found Christ. What I'm saying is, there is no nothing is restricting you. Fan the flame. Fan the flame. Fan the flame. My issue with some believers singing is that sometimes covertly, they are insulting God by saying that God is not willing. Covertly. Some will tell you, hear them tell God, God, if you can just do this, I will be this and this and this. And God is saying, okay, prayer answered. After praying that prayer, they prayed passionately. God, if you can do this, if you can give me utterance, I will speak. Utterance comes. They keep mute. God, if you can fill me with your Spirit, I will take the whole word for you. You're filled with the Spirit. And the Lord says, preach in the bus. Preaching the bus. God. We imagine that God will take our tongue and one day out of, without our will, use our tongue and just talk. No, there's a component that you bring to the table. That's what I'm trying to point out. A lot of people have been blaming God that the reason for their lack of power is God. A lot of people have been blaming God that the reason for their lack of, boldness is God. That they will be bold if God only makes them bold. But God has given you his Spirit. God has given you his Spirit. God has given you his Spirit. Step out in faith. Fan the flame. Nobody will do that for you. He will give you his Spirit. You will walk with his Spirit to fulfill this counsel. But there is a place where you come in. There's a place where you come in. There are those who come to church every Sunday. I'm not saying they are here, but there are those. every Sunday, they cry out for power. They cry out for manifestation of the gifts of the Spirit. They cry about all this stuff. Monday, they don't pray. Tuesday, they don't pray. Wednesday, they don't pray. Thursday, they don't pray. Friday, they don't pray. Saturday, they don't pray. They don't even open the scriptures. Then they come on Sunday again, and they are the loudest, crying out for the same power. Listen, if you do that, it will be a rat race. You keep running and running and running. In the next 40 years, you keep saying the same thing. Because God is a constant. The variable is you. When you ask God, grant me power to heal the sick, ensure you look for someone with headache. Pray for the person. We're all quiet. Amen. Are we still following? When you ask God, grant me power, look for a sick person and pray. It's like the popular story where, you know, it was told the whole village were praying for rain. They kept coming to pray for rain and pray for rain and pray for rain and pray for rain and pray for rain, until a little boy came with an umbrella. It was that little boy that came with the umbrella that prayed and rain fell, because he came prepared. If you are calling for rain, sure you will do the things that are appropriate for rain to fall. Are you getting this at all? If you're calling for rain, you will do the things that are appropriate for rain to fall. If you're trusting the Lord, listen, this year is the moment of Zion. The coming year is the moment of Zion. If you're trusting for the Lord to walk through you mightily, get ready. Get ready. Get ready. Get ready. Brothers, get ready. How do you get ready? By being filled with the Spirit. You see what Brother Tolu did? How many of us felt like dancing before we danced? I didn't feel like dancing. But that's the way of the Spirit. That's the way of the Spirit. Going opposite of your feet. I mean, if you, when you started dancing, when you started dancing, it felt like you could, you had this sense of peace, knowing that this is what God wants me to do right now. You had this sense, knowing that God would have me dance right now. I have a few hands up. Okay. How many of you, it was God that moved you to dance? Fire came down from heaven and moved you. And then moved you to take one step, another step, another step. You moved yourself. Hello? Why did you move yourself? In faith. In faith. I'm saying this because, you know, you will have opportunity to lead many to Christ this coming year. Watch out for those conversations. Amen. It's going to be in private conversations, little harmless conversations. The Lord will tell you, now moment, strike. The iron is hot. Don't hold back. Strike there and then. What if they insult you? The Lord has said, I will not leave you nor forsake you, so that you may boldly say, the Lord is my helper. I will not be afraid of what man can do to me. So when the Lord tells you, strike, preach, ask the person about, if he knows about Jesus, don't hesitate to hold back. Don't hold back. Don't hesitate. Don't hold back. Strike there and then. Strike there and then. These are practical things that you would see play out. You would see it play out before your very eyes. They will be your colleagues at work. You would see it play out before your very eyes. See, God will not move us from our bedroom. We will move in faith, knowing the Lord has spoken. Where does the place of being filled come in? When you are filled with the Spirit, there is no lag. You know, in Zoom, you have lag. I can speak now and you hear me 2 minutes later, 30 seconds later. When you're filled with the Spirit, there's no lag. You are in step with the Spirit. You know when he tells you to strike. You know what to do. You never go wrong when you're filled with the Spirit. You never go wrong. So make it a devotion. Every day get drunk with the Spirit. Get drunk with the Spirit. Get drunk with Ephesians 5. Mercy, if you're there, just keep putting the scriptures on the slide. Ephesians 5. Get drunk with this every day. Let no day meet you. Let me say this. To be sober, you cannot be sober or vigilant in this evil world without being drunk in the Spirit. It's not possible. It is in being drunk with the Spirit that you become sober. That you see not as other men see. Are you following this? It says, wherefore, be not unwise, but understanding what the will of God is, and be not drunk. How do you get drunk with wine? You keep drinking, right? You keep drinking. And be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit, speaking to yourself. It's very important to notice this. The proof that you are filled with the Spirit is that you always say something. If you read the scriptures, almost everywhere the Bible said someone was filled with the Spirit, there was always something said or something acted. Yeah. Have you seen that before? Okay, we'll look at that. We'll look at that very shortly. But be filled with the Spirit. What would happen? Speaking to yourselves in psalms, in hymns, and spiritual songs. Singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. Which means that there's an ongoing transaction in your heart. See, there's no room for depression when there's an ongoing transaction, melody in your heart. How can depression stay? It's not possible. It's not possible. It's not possible. When you're filled with the Spirit of God gets access to, you know, to seize your mind, to seize your vocal cords. He can take control of it. He can use it as he wills. So before you go to school, what do? You get drunk with the Spirit to the point where the Spirit of God can now find free and full expression through your words, through how you think, through how you see things. You get drunk every day. 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 Make it a duty every day of the year. Get drunk. Before you go to work, get drunk. When you come back from work, get drunk. Before you go to sleep drunk with the Spirit. Go to sleep singing in the Holy Ghost. This is how to keep yourself in the love of God. I'm telling you the truth, brothers. You want to walk in love? You want to walk in power? Be filled with the Spirit. Often, always. There's a popular slogan that says, never be caught unfresh. They mean never allow people come to your house and catch you, you know, unkept. Never be caught, let me use the word, undrunk. Drink. Drink the Spirit. Drink of Him in prayers. Pray in the Spirit often. Under your breath, just pray in the Spirit. Sing in the Spirit. Brother Toluna started songwriting. That's what the Spirit of God will make you. It will make you a songwriter. It will make you a composer of melodies. Now these things are shields. They shield your heart from wounds, from fiery darts that can penetrate your heart and cause damage, from things that can cause sorrow. There will be things that will be shot towards you that if you allow them into your heart will cause sorrow. But alas, when you're filled with the Spirit, there's an armory in your heart that bounces these things back. Bulletproof. Bulletproof. It says, he that sits in the heaven shall laugh. His gift to us is laughter.
Hallelujah.
Listen, we will look at the shaking of the word and we will laugh this coming year. We would laugh. We would laugh. You say, why do the heathens rage? The people imagine eventing. They are taking counsels, you know, against the king and his anointed, against the Lord and his anointed. He that sits in the heavens shall laugh. How can men be planning against God and God is laughing? That's the wine he wants to give you. That's the wine he wants to give you. That's the wine. When they tell you, Eli, if we catch you praying at work again the way you used to sneak and go and pray, we'll fire you. And you're just like, That's the Spirit. Drink the Spirit. Be filled with the Spirit. Have a moment where you come together in your family meeting, you're having morning devotion, and you're just laughing. You're full of laughter. Holy laughter. They gave you a prescription. And they say you have cancer. They say you have diabetes. Hold that and laugh. Laugh over it. I'm talking to someone here. Laugh over it. Laugh over those prescriptions that was given to you. Learn to laugh. 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 Laugh your way to healing. Laugh your way. Laugh your way to power. Learn to laugh. Be filled with the Spirit. Speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. Have you seen drunk people communicating before to each other? Oh man, it's a fun to see. It's a fun to see. And they actually compose songs. They make, I've been privileged to see a lot of drunk people in my lifetime. And I've even heard some of them compose some songs that I can't forget. It's stuck in my head. It didn't actually make any sense. How can you be singing? You know, you just look at his friend and says, only you and a man. What does that mean? I actually heard them sing that song. They sang the song and they laughed together and they chorused it together. They were all drunk. But I was listening and it got stuck in my head. It got stuck. You know, get so intoxicated with the Spirit that the surrounding, the happenings around you does not affect you anymore. Does not affect you anymore. Let's go to the next one very quickly. Let's just read them very, very fast, and then we round up. We round up by just praying in the Spirit and laughing and just singing and dancing and leaping in the Spirit. Jesus showed us how to leap in the Spirit. Only one person has demonstrated that in the fellowship so far. I've only seen one person do that. Eli, that's the only one person. Bible says that Jesus leaped in the Spirit. That word is agaleo. We have to practice that. You must learn to leap in the Spirit. Jesus leaped. It means to leap like a calf. Jesus was running around for joy. It wasn't like a calm, the devil is now, I saw the devil fall, you know, St. Venus Luke, I saw the devil fall like lightning. No. The guy was running around. He was running, leaping. You have to wake up in the morning, let him be sure, let your spouse wake up and say, what's going on? Why are you leaping? Why are you jumping? And you look at her and just laugh. And then she just joins you to start laughing. And the both of you laugh together for 30 minutes. You see, prayer is fun. Actually, more than fun is sweet. It's the sweet influence of the Spirit. Give yourself to these things. Somebody offended you, and you just heard the story, and it's about to spoil your mood. Drink the Spirit. Drink the Spirit. Drink the Spirit. Drink this. You cannot afford to go 1 week holding on to an offense. Oh. It means you have not drank. You have not drank. Drink the Spirit. Drink the Spirit. I have never seen anyone who drank the Spirit, you know, who drank of the Spirit, who was filled with the Spirit of God and was keeping malice at the same time. I've never seen. I've never seen. I've never seen anybody filled with the Spirit to go and steal. I've never seen. I've never seen. Never be caught on drunk, if there's any word like that. Acts 2:4 says they were all filled with the Holy Ghost and they began to speak. Like I said, when you're filled, you will talk. You will talk. It will come out of your mouth. What you are full of will come out of your mouth. They began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. Be filled with the Spirit. Speak in tongues. It's given to you. Acts 4:8. The Bible says, Peter, filled with the Holy Ghost, said. Peter, filled with the Holy Ghost, said. Peter, filled with the Holy Ghost, said. The guy began to preach. This is the Peter who was very shy, afraid of man, afraid of persecution. He was filled with the Spirit and he began to speak. If you have been here, you're finding it difficult to share your faith, even with your friends, just get drunk first. Make an appointment with one of them. You know, one of those your casual appointments. And then get so drunk. And then you are coming and your countenance is so full of life. And they are saying, why are you so happy today? And you have started preaching the gospel. This would happen normally. Some of us will see this happen every day. You see somebody who's deaf and dumb and you're asking, can I pray for you? What will make somebody see an impossible situation and say, it makes sense for God to heal this? You are drunk in the spirit. Get drunk in the spirit. What if you pray and nothing happens? You have done your part. You've done your part. When you see a sick person again, pray again. Be filled with the spirit. Acts 4:31. When they had prayed, the place was shaken where they were assembled together, and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost, and they, what? Spoke the word of God with boldness. How does boldness come? It comes when men are filled. When the Spirit of God saturates your mind, saturates your heart, saturates everything. When all you can think of, all you can say is God, it changes things. It changes things. Acts 11:24. For he was a good man. This is Barnabas. You see what he did to the church. He was a good man, full of the Holy Ghost and of faith. And much people was added unto the Lord. Read 23. Let's read 23. Let's see what this guy did. It says, then Saul, who is called... No, let's read the previous one. Let's go back to Acts 11. Let's read 22. Let's read 21. Let's start from there. Let's just see what... I want you to find yourself in this. Find yourself in this. The hand of the Lord was with them, and a great number believed and turned to the Lord. Let's read 20. Okay. The tidings of these things which came to the ears of the church. Okay, let's just start here. And some of them were men of Cyprus and Cyrene, which when they were come to Antioch, they spake unto the Grecians, preaching the Lord Jesus. Let's read 21 now. And the hand of the Lord was with them, and a great number believed and turned unto the Lord. Let's read 22. Then tidings of these things came unto the ears of the church, which was in Jerusalem, and they sent forth Barnabas, that he should go as far as Antioch. Barnabas, one man. Let's read what happened. Who, when he came and had seen the grace of God, was glad and exhorted them all. That with purpose of heart, they would cleave unto the Lord. Listen, don't think that you don't matter to the local church. You do. So before we come to church every Sunday, get drunk. You do matter. The Bible says he was a good man and full of the Holy Ghost. What did he do? He exhorted them because he was full of the Holy Ghost. And much was added unto the Lord. Multiplication will come through you. This coming year. It will come through your hands. It will come through your mouth. Hearts of many will be strengthened. Listen, because of you, your environment will be called a depression-free zone. It will come because of you.
Amen.
No brother will have to go through any form of oppression from the devil because of you. Because you are there. Because you are there. So be filled with the Spirit.
Amen.
There are many times where a brother may be down, a brother may feel sad, a brother may be panicky, you know, about something that is not right concerning him. And God will use you to resolve that issue. Just a call from you, a message from you. Be filled with the Spirit. Be filled with the Spirit. Be filled with the Spirit. Acts 13, let's go further. Acts 13, it says, then Saul, who is also called Paul, filled with the Holy Ghost, set his eyes on him. This is somebody that has been distracting him. You know, distracting his message. And then Paul said, you know, in verse 10, we all know what Paul did here. Paul made the man blind. He said, Paul said, you notice he was filled with the Spirit. He was filled with the Spirit. I love what Tumim said. He says, you are the Holy Ghost zone. Yes. Hallelujah. Paul, filled with the Holy Ghost, said, a lot of things will happen this year, but it shall be the moment of Zion. We have heard a lot of things in the prayer meetings. It will come to pass by people who are drunken with the Spirit, full of the Holy Ghost. Let's go to the next one very quickly. Full of the Holy Ghost. Next verse. Acts 13:52. And the disciples were filled with joy and with the Holy Ghost. Filled with joy and with the Holy Ghost. I don't think you can be full of joy and be depressed at the same time. I don't think you can be full of joy. Have you seen someone full of joy? You can't stop the person. They're unstoppable. You can't tame them. Listen, circumstances of the earth will not be able to tame you this year. I was thinking you would say a big amen to that.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Because the joy from your heart will break the bounds of the wicked. We come with joy. So much joy. The joy of the Son of God. 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 You know, Stephen was being killed and he was still full of the Spirit. That's so powerful. So when they heard these things, they were cut to their hearts and they gnashed their teeth. They gnashed on him with their teeth. 55. But he, being full of the Holy Ghost, looked up steadfastly into heaven. You see, when you are filled with the Spirit, your gaze is God. Your only gaze is God. All that makes sense is God. All that makes sense is Christ. That's all that makes sense. Your gaze is him. He looked steadfastly into heaven and saw the glory of God and Jesus standing on the right hand of God. He saw that power belonged to God. He saw the glory of the kingdom. He looked and he saw steadfastly. Listen, let men gnash their teeth against us this year. We shall see the glory of God.
Amen.
Let men gnash their teeth against you this year. We shall see the glory of God. Let men rise up in persecution against the church. We shall see the glory of God. We shall see the glory of God. We shall see that Christ is exalted. We shall see that he has earned the right to every generation. We shall see it. He says, he being full of the Spirit, looked up steadfastly into heaven. Steadfastly into heaven. Steadfastly into heaven. Set your gaze, your affections on things above, not on things on the earth. How do you do that? By being filled with the Spirit. How do you become filled? By drinking. You get filled by drinking. How do you get filled? You take the word of God, you put it in your mouth, and you say it out. You repeat it. You repeat it. You repeat it. You sing it. You make melody with it. You pray in tongues. You pray. See, praying in tongues should be your friend this new year. There's something about you praying in the Spirit and your love walk. It really aids your love walk. You know, you can pray to a point where you begin to let go of things. Have you ever been there before? When you pray to a point that those things that you used to hold dear, you start just letting go of them. Yeah. Unnecessary weights, you start letting go of them. It changes how you see life. Yeah. So before you go out every day, make it a point of duty. Just get drunk. Get drunk in the Spirit. When we come together like this, let it be a wine. Let it be a festival of the Spirit. Hallelujah. 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 Let's unmute for a minute and just pray in the Spirit now. Let's pray in the Spirit. Let's pray. Let's pray in the Spirit. 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 Glory to God. Glory to God. Elamando Shapada. Rapare Descopada. Rico Pendendo Scaprati Bara. Rica.